One question was asked of a church family, why is it important that we be quiet in church? And, you know, adults, they usually don't respond. And so a little child raised his hand, and the pastor said to the little child, yes. And the child said, because there's people sleeping. Don't want to disturb the people that are sleeping. We got to be quiet in church. So hopefully you're not sleeping this morning. Hopefully we get something from the Word of God. Today is our fifth Sunday fellowship. And this morning I'm going to preach a message that I've entitled, The Fellowship of Your Faith. The Fellowship of Your Faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses number 12, 13, and 14, we have a description of the body of Christ, which is the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12, 13, and 14 reads like this. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. This morning we want to talk about the fellowship of your faith. As we today are going to have our first fifth Sunday fellowship, and this morning talk about that and kind of the idea behind it, and the privilege that we have in the church to fellowship with other like-minded believers that are called together to worship our Lord and Savior. Let's pray and we'll get into the thought for today. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We ask you, God, that you would give me clarity of thought and liberty to preach. Strike from my memory and from my eyes to be able to see the notes that maybe I have here that should be left out, that you wouldn't need me to say today or would have me to say. God, I pray that I would only present and give those things that your people need at this hour. Lord, we pray that you would speak to each and every heart here. Help us to be encouraged in the light of the fellowship that we have in the body of Christ. Help us to be strengthened and to be committed anew to be a part of that fellowship and to work hard to be actively involved in that fellowship. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. Give us a good time now around your word and in the fellowship that will follow. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So the human body, we know, is made up of many members. We know we've got all these different aspects, and the illustration could be taken at infinitum with the fingers and toes and skin and eyeballs and hair. And although there are many members, we know that they all make up one body. They are all part of the same thing. They're all gathered together. And in like manner, the church is made up of different people, of different nationalities. Praise God. I was telling some people last week about Hunt Valley Baptist Church and how we are so privileged to have a very multicultural church. One of the things I love about our church is that all people are welcome. And it doesn't matter where you come from or what your background is, you're welcome at Hunt Valley Baptist Church. And we hope that you get to experience Hunt Valley hospitality. We're glad to have you. And as you come and begin to be a part of Hunt Valley Baptist Church, every person is important. Every member of the body is vital and is needed and is relied upon. Nobody should be thinking to themselves, oh, I'm not that important. Everybody's important. Everybody is needed, and we are excited about having everybody here and present and active in the fellowship, the body of Christ. Just like a healthy body needs all of its members. I mean, we could ask Brian how inconvenient it is when his foot is not functioning properly, right? I mean, it's just a small member. It's not that big a deal. But it affects the whole body, doesn't it? Yeah, he has gone through it with this infection on his foot over and over again and the different surgeries he's had to endure. And I'll tell you what, when the body is struggling, when there's one member of the body struggling, the entire church should feel that. The entire church feels that and recognizes it, and it affects the whole when just one member, when just one portion of the body is not there, when one person, one member is not active in the fellowship. Everybody should be faithful in serving God as a member of the body. The New Testament, Fellowship is something that we have given to us in the church as we gather together. God designed us for fellowship. All the way back in the book of Genesis, God created all the animals. And then he created man. And he saw that man didn't have anybody to fellowship with. And although a dog is a man's best friend, God saw that that wasn't quite sufficient. And God said, it's not good for man that, what? Should be alone. No, and he created he, him, a woman. Amen. What a joy. Talking to Dr. Keller this morning, you know, last week was my wife and I's 22nd anniversary. And he was just saying happy anniversary and what a joy it is to have the love of your life by your side all these years. And I said, my, it sure is. What we can endure, what we can go through when we have that person by our side. But you know, the New Testament takes us a step further as far as fellowship. God made us beings that need fellowship. We need interaction with other human beings. A guy on an island by himself, he could have the whole island and all that's there to offer, and he'll go crazy. Because you've got to have fellowship. You got to have somebody to interact with. This was God's plan. It is part of his design. And that's because he wants us to fellowship with him. That's what we were created for, to honor and glorify him and to fellowship with him and to bring praise to him. You know, in today's world, people like to belong. They've got groups that they like to be a part of. I remember when I was a teenager, I used to ride my skateboard down the highway. We lived out in the desert. There was only one road that was paved. The rest were all gravel, and that was the highway. And I would ride my skateboard down the highway to a little Mexican restaurant that was down there, the only restaurant within about 10 miles of where we lived. And I would ride my skateboard down there and go into the restaurant, which had about four tables in it, little place. But I loved it. Do you know why? Because when I walked in the door, they would say, hey, Caleb, hi. You want your usual today? You want your usual? I mean, they knew me. They recognized me. They acknowledged me, and they knew what I liked. You know, out in the world, there's some places like that where people find that kind of camaraderie, where they find that kind of, you know, interaction, where people know them, they know their family, they know what's going on with them. And for a long time, it was the corner bar. But the Christian shouldn't be finding his fellowship in places like that. That's not where we should be getting encouraged. That's not where we should feel like we belong. That's not where we should go and somebody knows our name and somebody recognizes us and somebody encourages us as Christians. We should find that in the house of God. That's where we should come through the door and somebody says, hey, Caleb, good to see you. Man, how did your week go this week? How's your car running? I know you were having a problem with your car last week, and I've been praying for you. And oh, it's going good. That's great. Hey, how's your foot, Brian? We've been praying that your foot would heal up nice, and great to see you walking better today. I mean, people come through the church house, and there ought to be some friends. There ought to be some people here at God's house that recognize one another, that are burdened about one another, that care for one another. And when they come through the door, we see them and find out how they're doing. Amen? Amen? That's what we should be. That's where we should be getting our fellowship, our encouragement, our strengthening. The church is the right place. So let me give you a few thoughts this morning about fellowship, and we'll be done, and we're going to go do some fellowshipping. Amen. It's a doctrine of Baptist that we eat. I think it's in the Greek somewhere. First of all, the foundation of our fellowship. This is very important that we have the foundation right, the foundation of our fellowship. There's a lot of phony fellowship today. There's a lot of fellowship that's based on other things. Real fellowship in the church is not just a community gathering. It's not just a getting together to do a community project like, let's say, clean up the roads. I mean, those things are okay, but the fellowship found in the church goes beyond that. It's much deeper than that. The basis of real fellowship in the church is found in Christ. Found in Christ. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture for the sake of time. I'm not going to have you turn to a lot of it, but I would encourage you to write it down and think about these ideas of our fellowship and what we have. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Called to fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Our foundation of our fellowship is found in Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. He says, hey, we're declaring these things unto you so you could fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. True fellowship is found when we have fellowship with the Father. It's rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about how your spirit beareth witness. And we have a like faith. We have something that goes deeper than the fact that we both like Mountain Dew. Although if you like Mountain Dew, you could probably be my friend. I mean, how shallow is that? Based on the fact that we like Mountain Dew or that we might both like going skiing or something. No, we've got a fellowship that's rooted much, much deeper than that. It's rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 5 says, for your fellowship is in the gospel from the first day until now. What I'm saying is that every single church member, if you're coming here and attending here for a little while, we want to encourage you and point you to Jesus Christ. That our fellowship might be full. That the foundation might be right. We might have some other things in common. We might, when I was down in Indiana, there was a couple guys that drove Toyota Siennas, and we got together and we were talking about the Sienna. And we had that in common. And, oh, it was fun to chat about the different problems that they had. And, oh, mine had that too, the exact same thing. And, you know, cars get kind of finicky and they break in the same places. And we had good fellowship about that. But in the church house, our fellowship's much deeper than that. It's rooted, its foundation is in Jesus Christ. Every person that comes to church for more than a week or two ought to hear the truth of the fact that once you were a sinner and you need to be saved, and Jesus Christ came and paid that penalty of sin for us so that we can, through him, be saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The foundation of our fellowship is the fact that we're saved. I've been out door knocking before. That's not very loud. That's a little better. I've been out door knocking before, knocking on somebody's door. And somebody comes to the door and they're like, hello, how are you doing today? Hey, it's good to meet you. I'm Pastor Caleb Bottrell and this is John Smith. And we're here from Hunt Valley Baptist Church. And we just wanted to give you an invitation to come out and see us. Wow, thank you very much for coming to see me. This is a gospel presentation? Wow, that's something. You guys are out soul winning or being a witness? And I say, yeah, we are. We're out being a witness. We're out telling people about Jesus. That is great. We're really glad that you're doing that. And I've been encouraged many times by people who were at home telling me that it's wonderful that we're doing that. And after a couple of minutes, I say, hey, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this. But the reason we're here is not as much to invite people out to church as it is to tell them about God and that God loves them. And could I ask you, I'm pretty sure I know, but do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And they're like, oh, I sure do. He's the greatest Savior. I sure do know him. And within a couple of minutes of being at their door, I already knew that answer. I say, well, that's the most important decision anybody could ever make. But you see, the Spirit beareth witness. I just met them, but we have a fellowship rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ because I'm saved. I've been forgiven of my sin, and I'm on my way to heaven. And here is a perfect stranger I've never met before in my life, only known them for less than a minute and a half, and I have fellowship with them. Why? Because they're saved. on their way to heaven, they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do you this morning know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? The fellowship in the church house is not just that we get together and we enjoy singing some songs. It's not just that we get together and we talk with one another. It's rooted, its foundation is in the fact that we've been saved. We've been forgiven of our sin and we're on our way to heaven. Whereas once we were on our way to hell, now we're on our way to heaven, not by our own power or by our own strength or by our own might, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Hopefully you this morning have the foundation of fellowship. And you know that. You have a relationship with God. This common foundation is rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where we can gather together for fellowship. And although you might not like Mountain Dew, that's okay. I've got a... yeah, several people are saying, nope. I don't blame you. It's terrible for you. But we have a fellowship that goes so much deeper than that. And even though you don't like Mountain Dew or drive a Sienna or you might not like going skiing, I've got a reason to fellowship with you because of what Jesus did for me and what Jesus did for you. Amen? Amen. That's the foundation of our fellowship. Now let's talk about the features of our fellowship. What is the features of our fellowship, the characteristics? What are things, you know... If, let's go back to the car. If we're talking about my Sienna, you would say, oh, you know, it has power doors and power windows and has an AC that doesn't work, has windshield wipers. And, I mean, here's the features of my car. You know, I love my car, even like it is. It's a wonderful car. I've been pleased with it, and I hope it makes it to 400,000. It's 250,000 right now. Hopefully, it'll make it to 300 at least, maybe to 400. We'll see. But the features of the vehicle. If you were going to describe your fellowship, if somebody came and they wanted to describe the fellowship at Hunt Valley Baptist Church, what would they say? What are the features of the fellowship at Hunt Valley Baptist Church? What is it that, what are the characteristics, what are the descriptive characteristics that somebody might say in describing our church? In Acts chapter 2, verse number 44 through 47, the Bible says this, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and the breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That, in those verses, gives you a very good description of what the features should be. I'm not going to try and describe this morning what the features of our church are. Hopefully, you'll see our church and the features that we look at in the Word of God, what our fellowship should be like, what our fellowship characteristics should be like, the features of our fellowship. First of all, there should be coherence. There should be coherence. There should be, the Bible uses the term unity. There should be unity in the body of Christ. You see, we all are sinners saved by grace. And except for him, none of us could attain heaven. Nobody is any better than anybody else, no matter where you come from or what your background in. And there's no reason for any person to be puffed up and full of himself and think that he's something that he's not. As I told you last week, my friend in Kansas, he always says, just one pile of dirt talking to another pile of dirt. From dust to dust. And just a sinner saved by grace. And there ought to be coherence. There ought to be unity in the church. This is a defining characteristic of the fellowship of the church. There shouldn't be this problem. There shouldn't be this contention. There shouldn't be a separation, a dividing line. There shouldn't be all the people that sit on the left don't fellowship with the people that sit on the right. And, you know, the people that sit over here, don't fellowship up front, don't fellowship with the people that sit in the back because, you know, They're different or whatever might be the issue you might have with somebody else in the church. the grace of God should override all of those differences. There's even personality differences. Some people are loud and fun. Some people are quiet and timid. Some people are energetic, and some people are not. But our fellowship rooted in Jesus Christ should override all those differences. There should be coherence and unity in the church of Christ. Here at Hunt Valley Baptist Church, we want to have a focus on God and a focus on His goodness and not a focus on ourselves. And when we're heading towards God, we'll have fellowship one with another. It won't be a problem. As we learn what God is like, and we all try and be more like Him, we will get closer one with another. One little girl was in class at school, and she was drawing, and the teacher came by and said, "What are you drawing?" And she says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher just kind of commenting and says, "Well, nobody knows what God looks like." And the child, without looking up for her paper, said, "They will in a minute." They will in a minute. As we learn about God and learn more of what He's like, hopefully that translates into something different in our lives and we start to be more like Him. And people will say, "I saw Jesus in you." Amen. That unity that we can have. The early believers in Jerusalem shared everything they had. It was a true fellowship, and it impacted the world around them. They saw the love and unity in the church, and then when they saw that, they said, "That is something real." Because it's not natural for this many people to get together and to be able to fellowship and have a good time without contention. You see, there has to be something greater than ourselves that we unify around. And when the world sees that unity, it impacts them. They are convinced that God is real and the love of Christ can change their life too. The oneness that a church should have is what Christ prayed for. In John 17, verses 20 and 21, He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us." Now listen to this last phrase, John 17, verse number 21. He says, "That the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." As the church displays coherence, as the church displays unity among the brothers and sisters, the Bible, God says, "That the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." Amazing. People see that and they say, "Wow, what they're talking about there must be real, because that's not normal for people to be able to get along like that." Whatever issue you might have, brother, sister in Christ, can you let it go for the love of God? Can you let it go realizing that God loved you so much that He overlooks your idiosyncrasies? He overlooks your shortcomings. He overlooks, what I'm saying is, He puts up with you. You and I ought to be able to put up with others without it being such a burden, right? A feature, a characteristic of the fellowship we have should be coherence, unity. It also should be compassion. You see, the verse we read in Acts, the church had all things common and they gave of themselves. They gave things away to others that they could, they shared one with another. They helped meet each other's burdens. We know the New Testament has a principle that's bearing one another's burdens. Galatians 6, verse number 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We ought to have compassion. It ought to be a characteristic of the church that we have compassion one for another. And compassion goes beyond sympathy. Sympathy says, wow, I feel bad for you. Let me know how it works out. Oh, man, I'm so sorry you're going through that. We'll see you next week. Compassion says, hey, can I come over and make a meal for you? Can I come over and help you fix your car? I know it's been a struggle to get that thing going, and I know a little bit about cars, and I would love to help you do that. Compassion says, listen, I know that you've been running to and fro and going to the hospital and back. Maybe I could save you a trip, or maybe you just want somebody to ride with you. Could I keep you company for an afternoon? Do you have compassion that moves you out of your own world and out of your own needs and beyond yourself, where you consider the needs of somebody else? That's what the church is supposed to be. I'll tell you what, we get so consumed with what's going on in our life, with what our needs are and what we need to get done next, that we're losing this idea of compassion in the church, where we're bearing one another's burdens. We've got to bear each other up. We've got to be there for one another, have compassion on one another. And I'll tell you what, we have got to get to know one another. And that happens through time. This is what the Fifth Sunday Fellowship is all about. Spending some time with one another. Could I ask you, when church is out, what is so important that as soon as we say, in Jesus' name, amen, that you've got to get out of here? I mean, I understand if your mom is sick and in the hospital and waiting for you to get there. Hey, I'm praise God you're in church today. But if you're just going to go to McDonald's and sit by yourself and eat a hamburger, then why not stay here in fellowship with some people? Why not get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ? Why not get to know those people around? You know, the sign of a healthy church is when people are fellowshipping. A sign of a church that's sick is when the closing prayer is said, and within 15 minutes, they're turning off the lights and locking the building. That's a sign of a church that's not doing well. Because we ought to desire to be with one another. We ought to desire, hey, listen, I know it's uncomfortable to talk to John. It's uncomfortable to talk to anybody you don't really know. But how do you get to know them? You say, hey, John, good to see you today. What'd you do this week?
Sleep.
Man, you get to know it. You ask them, what do you enjoy doing? What do you like doing? If they're not retired, you can say, what do you do for a living? Oh, well, what did you do? You worked for telecommunications, for Verizon. How many of you knew that he worked for Verizon? Only like 6 people in the whole auditorium. How many of you know what Brother Yoon does? Only like 3 of you. 4, 6, 8. How many of you know what Brother Brian used to do? What about Brother Peters? Only a few. What I'm saying is, how well do you know your church family? Well, I know the one person that I'm good friends with. Yeah, but we're all part of the family. We're all part of the body. We got to spend a little time. This is what the Fifth Sunday Fellowship is for. Spend a little time. Now, even when we don't have a Fifth Sunday Fellowship, I just want to encourage you. Don't just run out the door. Come out of your shell a little bit. Find somebody you don't know and say hello. I know I've been coming to church here a really long time, and I've seen you from across the auditorium for about 3 years. And I've never said hi, and I'm sorry, but I don't know your name. It's going to be uncomfortable, especially after you've been, you've been attending church and you've been sitting in the same pew for a year and a half, and you don't know their name. Hey, I'm right there with you. But unless we engage one another, we'll never find it out either. This is the fellowship. We're supposed to be fellowshipping with one another, spending time with one another. Have somebody out to lunch besides your buddy. Have somebody over to your house that you don't really know and spend a little time getting to know them. Encouraging one another. Here, let me give you something that you can do to help the church family and also to be positive. Here's what you should do. Anytime somebody comes to church and you meet them, you should say, "Man, it's great to meet you, Tiffany. We're really excited about you being here today. Hey, have you met John Smith yet? Tiffany, this is John Smith. John Smith is a faithful member of our church." What I did there is I introduced her to somebody else, and I told her something positive about him. Anytime you introduce somebody to somebody else, say something positive about the person you're introducing. "Hey, here's Brother Peters. Man, he's one of the hardest working men I know." Don't just make it up, but Brother Peters, I mean, he makes me feel bad. I'm like, "Brother Peters, you shouldn't be doing all this work. You're not 27, you know." He's like, "Oh, it'll be okay." And he just keeps going, you know. He's a hard worker. You say, "Well, I don't know anything positive about David." Well, learn something. There's got to be something positive about him. He's really smart. He's a tutor. How many of you know he tutors? He tutors people in math and financial stuff, right? See? Now, we're really taxing my brain here to remember this stuff. But I'm trying to encourage you to get to know one another, to learn what each other does, to show compassion, to get beyond yourself. It's not just a matter of you know, when they're going through a trial and the burden is so great that we come, and we should during those times, but other times as well. This is a family. And we ought to be a family, and that means a family knows each other and recognizes each other, and when they come through the door, we don't accidentally turn the other way because we can't remember their name. We say, "I know this is the third week in a row, but what's your name again?" I mean, just get over the embarrassment and start learning who they are. I get up here and I have to say, "Who are you again?" "Oh, Carol." I've just got this thorn in the flesh. You know what my thorn in the flesh is? It's my memory. I say, "God, why do I have such a terrible memory? It would help me so much to be able to remember not just people's names, but what's going on in their life and what they told me last week and what happened with their son last year and who their great aunt's brother's sister was." You know, my wife remembers all that stuff. And I'm like, "How in the world can you remember that?" And I think, "Lord, it would help me so much if I could remember that. But God didn't give me that memory. I have to deal with the memory I got." And wherever you're at, that's what God gave you. Come out of yourself. Have some compassion for one another. Compassion goes beyond fellowship. So a feature, a characteristic of our church should be compassion for one another. True fellowship is when we're not, you know, thinking to be evil of one another or backbiting or talking about one another, or wanting to make each other look bad, but we're lifting one another up, encouraging one another. I have several other. I have the fatigue of fellowship and the function of fellowship, but I'm going to leave those for another day. Listen, we want to have the right characteristics in our fellowship. We want to have concern for one another. We want to get to know one another. Spend a little bit of time. Talk to one another. Beyond just the 2 minutes before church. Beyond just the fact that it's cold outside. Another great thing to talk about is the Word of God. Amen. And what God taught you this week. When you come out of church, you don't have to be ashamed and say, "Man, God spoke to my heart in that message. Did God touch you?" I made a decision to try and really invest in other people's lives, not be so concerned about myself, but talking about what God's doing in your heart, talking about what you learned in your devotions this week. Man, I read this verse this week, and it was so powerful. You'll encourage others to be in their Bible, to be walking with God. This is our fifth Sunday fellowship. And the whole reason is so that we could spend some time together and get to know one another a little bit. That's what we want to do. It's not just so that we can have an early service and go home and have the rest of the night off. There's not even any football today, I don't think. Is there football today? I don't know. Hockey? Who watches hockey? See? I didn't know that. Now you just learned something about these. She watches hockey. That's good to know. You can buy her a hockey stick for her birthday. Just learn about one another. Have compassion for one another. Amen? Amen? Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.